Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. And today we're going to break down the latest ChatGPT update announced yesterday and how it may be able to help podcasters even more than before. Plus, we'll answer your questions live. So if you don't mind, please hit the share button, bottom left-hand side of the screen. Share it however Clubhouse allows you to do that if you're listening live. And if you're listening via podcast, share this with a fellow podcaster. And then give us about a minute, and then we'll get things rolling. Thanks for being here. Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Now, if you're listening live, I was going to play a noise here for you. Where did it go? Of course, I'm so unprepared, so now I can't do it. I was going to play cricket noises because I'm the only one here on stage, which is kind of a rarity. I know Nick told me he was going to be a few minutes late this morning, so usually at least I have him accompanying me. Do you guys feel as weird as I do about this? I don't know why I shouldn't. Been doing this for a long time. Been doing this for years. Anyway, before we get started, I wanted to call something out because I was calling it out yesterday to my wife. When I start this show and the music plays, I don't know. I'm looking right now at the live audience and I don't know how many of you are real radio people. I say real radio people, meaning just those of you who may or may not have experience in radio. And if you're listening live, give me an emoji, a thumbs up if you know this term. It's called hitting the post. Does anybody know that? Give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. Okay. Oh, we got a thumbs up from Greg. So hitting the post, this is when if you listen to the radio and you hear a DJ talking up the music, that means the music's playing. There's no vocals yet, right? You hit play on a song and you hear that build up to whatever song it is. And what the DJs often try to do is when they're talking, they try to hit that post. The post means it's really when there is some kind of transition in the music. Maybe there's a little drum beat or, you know, when you hear my... Here, I'll do it for you right now. So here's the music, right? And I'm saying, good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is... I give you the date and I pause right there where you heard that drum beat. And then I say 2024, right? And then I am now telling you here what the show is all about. I am... digging in just enough, and then that's another post, that vocal sound you just heard, right? And then now I'm telling you to share it if you're listening live. I'm telling you to share it if you're a podcaster, and then you hear this transition coming up. That's another post, right? So I don't know how many people realize this, but I am always trying to hit those posts whenever I'm doing our intros. And I get so excited when I hit them. And I think that's probably because I have experience working with people in radio and they were always so into that. I used to work with a podcast that were formerly radio people. And we used to have a game where we would do that during the podcast. We would all try to hit the posts on our favorite songs. Now I've revealed that, now I'm going to be extra nervous when I'm trying to hit the posts moving forward in the mornings. Hey, look at this. I have somebody on stage with me. I feel so honored now and not as lonely. Billy Thorpe, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I was wondering, what happened to everybody?
Yeah, I don't know. Nick said he was going to be late. I don't know where everybody else is, but here we are.
You're in bad shape if I'm the only guy left standing.
I'll take it, Billy. I'll take it. And look at that. Just then, it looks like, oh, wow, it's so weird. I say hello to Billy, and then all of a sudden, all the moderators show up. It's like they were feeling a little jealous or something. Nice of all of you to be here. Thank you. Appreciate it. And I should say, to those of you listening, I always tell the moderators, I don't ever make you commit to a schedule. Right, I recognize, and I think it was Chris who brought this up in a previous episode. You know, you guys deserve to be compensated. I'd like to be compensated for doing this, and it's up to you when you're here. I'm not going to require anything of any moderator. If you can show up, that is awesome, because we all appreciate and respect your opinions. And if you can't make it, you can't make it. I was going to maybe go to a mailbag question first, but now that we've got Nick here, and by the way, we also have Ashley and Alex, and if you didn't know, my name is Mark Ronick. I am your host. Those are my co-hosts, and now that Nick is here, as of yesterday, OpenAI was added again. OpenAI, the creators of ChatGPT and several others, they made a big announcement that they've got a new upgrade. So there was 3.5. That was, well, yeah, I think that was the one that caused all the stir back at the end of 2022. We got 4.0, and everybody went nuts for that. Well, now, in true fashion of OpenAI, they have a weird name for the next upgrade, ChatGPT 4.0, and it's not 4.0, and the O is not standing for zero. It is literally a lowercase o. We'll hear what that means in a moment. First, we also have another guest here today to learn a little bit more about it from the AI briefing. We've got Mick.
Hey, Podcasting Morning Chat. It's your favorite AI host, Mick. And I'm thrilled to be here to share some exciting updates just announced by OpenAI yesterday during a live event. OpenAI has recently launched a new AI model that's packed with enhanced capabilities. This new model promises a more natural interaction experience, with improvements in understanding and discussing various types of content, including images and audio. One of the standout features is its ability to analyze and provide real-time responses, making interactions feel even more intuitive and seamless. Whether you're solving a problem, having a live conversation, or interpreting visual content, this new model is designed to enhance your experience. In addition to these advancements, OpenAI has also introduced a desktop version of ChatGPT. This new app aims to integrate smoothly into your daily workflow, providing easy access to powerful AI features right from your computer. It includes tools that make interactions more intuitive, whether you're asking questions, discussing on-screen content, or using voice mode for natural voice chats. Moreover, many advanced features that were previously exclusive to paid subscribers are now available to all users for free. This includes access to high-level AI intelligence, the ability to analyze images and documents, and memory for continuity across conversations. The AI is also expanding its language support, enhancing both quality and speed. OpenAI continues to emphasize the responsible deployment of these powerful technologies, ensuring that new safety systems and collaborations are in place to address any potential risks. For a more detailed update on all the latest announcements from OpenAI, be sure to check out the latest episode of the AI Briefing. Thanks for having me. See you soon.
Thank you, Mick. And Mick, yes, as he said, the AI Briefing, he has a special report that just came out this morning. I will share the direct link to the YouTube because Nick, not to be confused with Mick, Nick also added video to this edition of the AI Briefing, talking all about GPT 4.0. And with that, Nick, good morning to you. Let's start with the name. Tell us, why 4.0? What is it? Nick, there
he
is.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Yeah, I'm trying to get Aria situated. She's eating. So 4.0, the O in the 4 stands for omnidirectional. And one of the big things that they're pushing in this model is essentially real-time response. So you can be having a conversation, like a legitimate talk to ChatGPT, and in almost real time, I think they said like 232 milliseconds, which is an average human response time, it will be replying to you in a normal language. And so that hits your voice side of it. Then you obviously have text with ChatGPT, you normally would. But then they also have video as well. So you can turn on your camera and you can be showing ChatGPT like yourself, like a selfie camera, or you can be pointing it at whatever you're wanting to learn more about, or in a lot of examples, they showed math problems. And you can actually talk to ChatGPT while showing it contextually what you're looking at, and it will respond in real time with whatever response. So the math example, this guy was trying to solve an algebra equation. He pulled up his camera, pointed it at the math problem, and asked for help solving it. And ChatGPT was able to kind of guide him through the process of solving that algebra equation. And if he would screw up, it would stop him and be like, wait, hold on just a second. Get him back on track until he solved out the algebra problem. And it is wild. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, so it basically was acting almost like a tutor, right? It was just walking this guy through the problem and directing him, not even necessarily giving him the answers, but instead guiding him toward the answers. Like I said, much like a tutor. And it's all from this, just because it's able to use the camera and see what you're doing. It's pretty fascinating. And quite frankly, I'm still wrapping my brain around ways that we can use it. And we're going to talk about it even more later this morning at 12 p.m. Eastern today at nextgenpodcaster.com. You can join for free. So if you're curious when we talk about Next Gen Podcaster, this would be a prime opportunity to come and join and see what we do on these live Zoom calls and what we talk about. In this case, I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about with 4.0. But yeah, Nick, I saw you had come off mic a second ago while I was talking. Did you want to add something?
No, we can save it. We can save it for Next Gen Podcaster.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I mean, I've been doing some early research here. You know, there are people now that are out there that are predicting this is going to change education because, yeah, now we've got potentially, we've got a built-in tutor. We'll have to see what that means. And I could see this being a change for coaching and consulting. Yes, that means it could affect even what I'm doing, coaching and consulting podcasters. And I think there are nuances still that AI isn't quite ready to be able to execute. So we'll see. But yeah, this is going to be interesting. We're going to be spending our morning, Nick and I, really digging into this for Next Gen Podcaster later to talk about really some of these ways that you can use this for your podcast. And right away, knowing that it can actually work with video and work with audio, at the very least, it's saved us a step because we'll be able to upload the audio or video, maybe get that transcript, maybe have it automatically write show notes right from there. So for those of us who don't like popping into Otter, make a transcript there, then pull that, then upload it to ChatGPT, then give it the prompt. We're saving some steps. That, at the very least, is happening. I tried yesterday to upload a video, one of my videos that I just posted yesterday, and I wanted it just to evaluate it, tell me what it's seeing. 4.0 has not fully made its way to you yet, most likely. It's still kind of updating and integrating. So it didn't do a perfect job, but it definitely saw the video and was able to comment on it, just not to the degree that that's promised. Go ahead, Nick.
Sorry, I didn't mean to like be flashing the mic.
No, that's okay.
Tried to unmute and then mute and then it turned into a thing. Yeah, so if you have ChatGPT Plus and maybe even the free version of ChatGPT, you'll likely notice that you have the GPT 4.0 model to select. But like Mark said, over the coming weeks, I guess they're going to be releasing more of these features. So you likely don't have the full functionality of it, even though you can see GPT 4.0 inside ChatGPT.
Yeah, and that's significant. I'm glad you just said that again. I know Mick said it too, but even if you are not paying for ChatGPT, you now have access to 4.0. And currently, the only difference for those of us that pay is that I think it gives us bigger outputs. Is that right, Nick? Like, it'll give us more detailed answers?
The only difference right now, and I'm kind of wondering if this is leading into GPT-5 for Plus users, but because the only difference right now is the number of messages that you can send. So you know how you hit that message limit in the free version of ChatGPT? I guess maybe not in the free version, but in the paid version, you can only use GPT-4 so many times before it tells you, hey, cool it. I think that's the big difference between free and paid is free has a limited number of uses per day or for so many hours, and then the Plus users have a little bit larger number of messages they can send.
Yep. And the other cool thing that I don't think we've acknowledged enough is the fact that you can have this interaction now. So now it's more conversational when you're interacting, when you're prompting ChatGPT, as opposed to you having to really sit there and think about what it is you're typing and tweaking. It's designed now for you to have a conversation with it. And that's exciting to me too. So more to come. Go sign up at nextgenpodcaster.com if you haven't already. Get a free 1 month trial. No credit cards required. Just simply sign up and you'll get your 1 month access. And then you can join us today at 12 p.m. Eastern. And I'll make sure that link is in the show notes if that is of interest to you. Two things I want to say. One, if you're in the audience listening live, come on up and join us. If you've got questions, if you want to participate in giving answers, you are more than welcome. In the meantime, I will pull from the mailbag. This one comes from Ethan, and I wish Dominic was here. I don't know if somebody can text Dominic from where, if you've got Dominic's number, give him a text and see if he can come in today, because I'd love to hear his take on this too. And of course, I want to hear from Alex, Ashley, Billy, and Nick, although Nick just disappeared. And I see we have Wynn up on stage as well. Here is the mailbag question from Ethan. Can you share insights on how to effectively use storytelling to keep an audience engaged during episodes, especially when it comes to interviewing? Ethan goes on and says, I understand the overall concept of how someone like Dominic uses storytelling for his narrative podcast, but how am I supposed to do that when it comes to an interview? Does the storytelling just unfold as the interview goes on? So thank you to Ethan for that question. And I think that's a really interesting question, right? Because we here at the Morning Chat, we constantly talk about storytelling and the value of it and how it both connects you and your audience together and how they learn. Storytelling is one of the best ways for us as human beings to learn new things. So yes, it's important, and I hear what Ethan is saying, right? Ethan is like, well, if I'm interviewing somebody, I kind of have to just depend on their answers. That's the story, right? And I think there's more to it than that. I've got some thoughts to that, and I want to hear from others. I see Wynn wants to add or ask something, and I see we have Royfield who's joined us now. Ashley wants to chime in. Good question, Ethan. Wynn, we'll start with you. Good morning. Did you want to answer Ethan? And by the way, how are you feeling?
Good morning, you guys. Side note, complete side note. I'm actually going home on Thursday. Didn't think I would say those words on April 30th, but it's okay. For those of you that don't know why I say I'm going home, is because I had major back surgery. I had a full spinal fusion 20 days ago. To answer Ethan's questions, I don't necessarily script my podcast. I leave it as open-ended as I can, unless the interviewee wants it. I try to make it as storytelling as in-depth as I can, because I love humans. I love meeting people. I love talking to people. I mean, I'll talk to nurses and doctors all day long if they let me. So I personally try and let the conversation flow unless the interviewee asks for those baseline questions. When it comes to storytelling, you have to dig deep, but I try and leave it as open-ended and deep as possible.
Thank you, Wynn. Appreciate that. Appreciate your process when it comes to storytelling and interviewing. Ashley, did you want to add to this?
Yes, please. I'm sitting in my car in the rain. Hopefully this sounds okay.
Sounds fine.
Awesome. So I think it all begins with the research on who the guest is and find out what potential stories might be there. And then you can curve the interview in that they will really elaborate on those stories, especially if already content about them out there. And then what I like to do is once I record the raw interview, I'll think about, you know, what are the highlights of the story? And in post-production, I'll go in and I'll record narrations to accentuate certain points in the story. And that's kind of helped make it a little bit more cohesive. Like I'll think of some kind of an intro that's somewhat of a story in itself to get people interested. And then throughout the interview, I'll sometimes cut it up into acts. And between each act, there'll be a narration to help carry the story through in case anything is kind of lost.
Yeah, I like the thoughtfulness behind that. I'm going to bite my tongue because there's a lot I want to add to that. And I want to wait and give everyone else some opportunities first. So I'll come back to that. Royfield, welcome to the stage. Did you want to add to this question? Ethan wants to know how you do storytelling if you're interviewing somebody.
Well, first off, and I loved what Ashley said. I thought what she said about acts was incredibly pertinent and prescient. Fundamentally, if you just take the interview element just out of it for a start off, doesn't matter whatever bit of content you're creating, there should be a start, a middle, and an end. Like, that's just classic. It's a three-part act of a movie. If you are demonstrating painting a wall, you know, the start is why I need to paint the wall. Like, you need to get some paints together, blah, blah, blah. Then the middle is the technique of how you do it. Then the conclusion is the wall is painted. So everything is actually a story. It doesn't matter whether it's a narrative podcast per se, but that's how you construct content. There needs to be a beginning point, there needs to be an end point, and there needs to be a point of instruction. So what I do with an interview is to have a very, just what anybody really should do. So I'm not I'm revolutionary here, but that very clear notion of why you're interviewing this person, because they should be able to reflect and to give you something other than just the mechanics of what they have done. So not just I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. Okay, goodbye. That's not an interview. So you need to introduce the person, why they are of interest. That is the first act, if we use Wynn's analogy, or just the introduction. This person has done something, it is of note, et cetera, et cetera. I found their view on this interesting. Then they tell you what they have done. And then the last act, the third act, is the conclusion. What did they learn from this process? And then hopefully through that interview, they've had some ups and downs, some roadblocks. That makes it incredibly human. But it's just fundamentally three parts. A strong introduction, then the story per se of what they've done, and then a conclusion. Because otherwise, then you leave the listener kind of bereft. If it doesn't have any clear markers to say, okay, this is the end, this is what we've concluded, this is what this person learnt in this journey, or you as the listener, then it's not fundamentally a good interview. But
that narrative structure is what really should underpin all bits of content, regardless whether it's podcasting or whatever the heck it is. And if you have those three elements, you've got yourself the basis of a good show.
Thank you, Royfield. I appreciate that breakdown. Yeah, I mean, it can be as simple as that, right? Just making sure you know your clear beginning, your clear middle, which is, you know, really when things, I think, when you're getting as deep as you can in that interview, and then your clear ending. It makes perfect sense. And I am going to break down for you the way that I go about it. I'm just going to wait until we hear from some others. So stick with me here. And we have Soda and Jonathan that have joined us on stage. Soda, good morning to you. What did you want to add to this question about turning an interview into a story?
Well, Royfield said exactly what I was going to say, but more eloquently. So I'm going to hand it over to Jonathan.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question, Soda. You do a lot of interviews. How do you prepare for your interviews from a storytelling perspective? What do you do, or do you do anything before you go into an interview that is a conscious decision? Like, I'm doing X, Y, and Z because that will make this more of a storytelling style interview.
So that's actually one of the few things I use ChatGPT for. I have a prompt where I ask it to gives me 8 questions, and I wanted to break it down into a story. I ask ChatGPT to start out with I say what I want. I'm like, I wanted a story where you start introducing the character, understanding what's going to be a plot, kind of foreshadowing. Then I go deeper and try to have conflict in it. And then at the end, I say, give me a resolution and something for the audience to think about and possibly act on. And yeah, so sometimes it goes along with the question, sometimes it goes a different direction, but that's what I try to do.
Yes, I definitely use ChatGPT as well when I'm prepping for an interview. And I do something similar, but I do it a little differently too. So I'll jump into that. Thank you for sharing that with us, Soda, sharing your process. And I want to check in with Jonathan. Jonathan, did you want to add to this question around making an interview a story? Oh, we've got the famous glitch, Jonathan. There he went. He's learned now. All right, Jonathan, let's try. Nope, still don't gotcha.
Let's give it a try.
Hey, look at that.
There we go. Third time's a charm.
Yeah.
When it comes to the storytelling, I think it's important for everybody to remember that a simple story is the best story. So something that people can connect with, something that's relatable. So when you prep for interviews, look for those moments that are relatable, that are kind of connect with the audience, that are simple. Because like Royfield said, it's that beginning, middle, and end. And it's so important just to have those simple components that bring them on the journey with you. That's going to help you just tell a really strong story. But the relatability is also incredibly important.
Yes, I am with you on that. Relatability is key. And as an interviewer, it's your job, I feel, it's my job, to know that and to pull that out. I put here a link to a GPT, a custom GPT that I built for Next Gen Podcaster, and it's, I believe, now available in the GPT store. I did use this for an upcoming interview that's coming out next week on the Podcasting Morning Chat, my interview with Heather Parody. I teased that a couple weeks ago. It's almost ready. It's our very first one-on-one interview for the Podcasting Morning Chat. I've interviewed people with all of you here. This one, it's just me and her, and I'm really proud of it. I can't wait for you all to hear it. And now, in particular, I'm excited for you to hear it because we're talking about how I prepared for this one and how I generally prepare for most interviews I do, it's not for this podcast, but in previous years for my other podcasts. And this is what often I teach other podcasters who are asking. So yes, I believe storytelling does rely a lot more on the guest because it's their stories, and we've got to depend on those stories and how they tell those stories. And this is where and why it's so important for a host, in my opinion, to prepare for an interview. And yes, I know that many of you, and some of you have shared already, many of you prefer the organic conversations. And I see what makes that valuable. I'm not taking that away from you. And even if you refuse to prepare questions, it's still up to the host to guide the conversation, to create a story. So my formula that I just did recently with that Heather Parody interview was that the first thing I do is I write down everything I know about that person, and in this case, about Heather. So, you know, it's from listening to her podcast, it's from watching her social media. What have I gathered? What do I know about Heather? And then, yes, I go to Google, and then I'll research some interviews that Heather's done. Sometimes I'll collect those interviews. I'll get the transcripts from those interviews. And then I will use my custom GPT to do some additional research. I encourage it to go out there and go online, find as much info as possible about the guest. And I feed it also those transcripts that I've pulled from Google. And then I tell it to ChatGPT, this custom GPT, this interview assistant, I tell it to give me a list of questions based on all of the information that I just shared here, from what I know, from what I research, what I've had ChatGPT research. And I add some of my own questions. So now I've got a list of questions that ChatGPT spits out. I've put in some of my own questions. And then what I do is I tell it to sort the questions in an order that builds a story. More or less, that's the prompt. Take these questions, and I might filter out some of the questions that I didn't like. I might tell it to get rid of those. But ultimately, once I've got the questions down, I tell it to sort it to help me tell a story. And what it does for me is really awesome because it will break it down into sections. And it'll even title the section to give me an idea of why it's chosen that group of questions for that particular segment. And I'll do some more tweaking along the way. So my formula really starts with, as far as like that order of questions, once it's all sorted out, I'm going to start with questions that builds the guest's credibility. In other words, why is this person here on this show? Instead of the big, long introduction of me reading off their bio and telling you why this person is credible, I want the person to share through their own stories, through their own experiences, why they're credible, why they should be here. And then I transition into some personal questions to build connection between that guest and the audience. What are some things about this person that are interesting that helps you connect and bond a little bit and relate to the guest? Then I go deeper into the content that the audience really wants to hear, the stuff that I know my audience maybe struggles with, deals with often. And I ask this to the guest, and I prompt them really for their personal stories and their personal experiences to share with the audience so that the audience can look at it from the guest perspective and hopefully find some solutions. But now I'm able to go deeper because the audience theoretically has connected and bonded with the guest. So now they're more interested in the deeper, more detailed content. And then usually I'll ask a final question, and that final question can often be a little bit of a mix between personal and professional. Again, just to really seal that connection, that bond between the audience and the guest. So that's how I do it. And I now am really excited, like I said, for you to hear and watch. It's video too. This interview I did with Heather Parody, because now I know you'll probably be consuming it with that formula in mind. And I'm curious to see if it translates. So you'll have to let me know. I believe that's going to come out on Tuesday, that interview, this coming Tuesday, a week from today. And we've got Dan, who's joined us on stage. Dan, good morning. Did you want to add to this topic around turning an interview into a storytelling episode?
Yes, good morning, and thank you. I'd love to add a couple thought. Just from, let me frame this. First of all, I'm by no means a master storyteller. However, what I have realized personally is, you know, I don't enjoy doing homework, prepping for an interview. I'm more of the organic conversation kind of boat, but I think it depends on the focus of the podcast to begin with and what the interview is. I believe that if you interview an expert, they can go anywhere and share what their area of expertise is. But what they can't do is go anywhere and hear the questions and respond to the questions that uncover the pivotal moments in their world that then lead to a decision. And then that decision leads to action step after action step that create an experience for them when they finally fully commit to the thing that they're most passionate about now, or even some of the experiences along the way, the stumbling blocks, roadblocks, whatever they may be. So I think, you know, it depends. I try to dig into those pivotal moments and to uncover the ugly truths, if you will, of what led them there, not how they got there, not the fast forward through, but to really dig into those big turning points, the feelings, the challenges that they experience. I don't think enough people are sharing that part of the journey anyway. So that's my thought.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, I'm with you. Getting that background story really helps with the storytelling. And helps, again, I keep going back to it, helps creating that connection with the audience. It really, me personally, I am trying to connect my audience. I'm trying to show them why this person is so valuable to them. And it's my mission to make them as excited about the guest as I am. And that's really something important and a whole other topic. To me, I think if you're excited about the guest, it's going to translate in the interview. So I try to find the guests that really light me up, because if I'm lit up, I feel like it will translate and it's contagious for my audience. If I sat here for an hour monotone and very low key, and I had guests and my co-hosts here were all the same way, I don't think we'd have a room in here. I don't think we'd be doing Clubhouse for over 2 years now, almost 2.5. So yeah, I think it's super important to focus on pulling those stories out. And yes, to Dan's point, a lot of times those backstories are the ones that your audience can be most interested in, because that's the struggle that they're often going through. And so to hear somebody else go through it and come out the other side, and how they came out from the other side, that's the key. That's the ingredient I'm looking for in storytelling when it comes to guests. Okay. Unless anybody has anything else they want to add. Okay. Let's dig into one more question from the mailbag. Let's see here. What do I got for you? This is from Neil. How important is the sequencing of podcast episodes. Do you plan your episode release order strategically? And if so, what factors influence your decisions? So Neil's basically asking if we put thought into what episodes come out, or are we just kind of going with it? Like, I'm thinking about interviews specifically, because we could sit and record 4, 5, 6 interviews. Are most of the question that I'm curious about, that I'm guessing Neil's asking, are we strategically ordering those guests, or are we just putting them out as we do them? And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer per se. Maybe there is. But let's see. We've got several people wanting to answer. And since we've got a new person on stage here, Yvonne, I'm going to ask to start with you. What do you have to say to Neil about sequencing of podcast episodes?
I definitely strategically plan who I'm putting on and when they're going on. I have a podcast production calendar or planning document. And as I start and I fill in the dates of each of my episodes so that I can see them at a glance. And when I book an interview with somebody, I look at where they best fit, depending on, let's say, if there's a holiday. Right now I'm doing 2 Mother's Day episodes because Mother's Day comes, you know, it was on Sunday. So I did one on Wednesday with, you know, for my podcast drops on Wednesday. So I did one Wednesday, and I've got a part 2 with a different guest happening this week. I've got a special guest on for Father's Day and so on and so on. Sometimes I'll do solo episodes for special holidays. Let's say my anniversary of the podcast, or the end of a season, different things like that. So I definitely look at how somebody fits in. And then if there's nothing special, then it kind of is a first come, first serve. Or if I get a guest that I'm just so darn excited about, I can't wait, I might bump them up in my planning and get them out there sooner.
Thank you, Yvonne. And 2 questions for you. One is, just so I'm clear, so do you plan the type of content you want to put out first, and then you plug the guests into that, the planned slots? Is that how you do it? And then my second question, I'll wait, and then, yeah, give me the answer first, and then I'll ask you my second question.
So I do a lot of research, and I there are guests that I look for based on, you know, what the theme is. So, but I'm not, it really is, I don't know how to answer that. It's a mix, I guess, mm-hmm. is best way to answer that. Because I do a lot of research, and I come across people, I'll see something that I feel is an issue for people in midlife that people are struggling with, or somebody that has a really inspiring story that I think is just super relevant for my audience. I let it guide me in that way, if that makes any sense at all.
It
I feel
does.
Like I need another cup of coffee.
Yeah, no, you totally made sense. Yeah, of course, it's a combination for you. That makes sense. There's some stuff that you recognize. Yes, I want specific episodes about this, and then you have guests that hopefully support that. And then sometimes it's a calling, something that hits you that you want to make sure to provide to your audience, and you'll find a place for that too. Totally makes sense. I think Ashley,
thank you for saying that so much better than I
did. Oh, I don't think I said it that great, Yvonne. And it's much easier to summarize someone's answer than come up with one on the spot like that. Yeah, I think Ashley also wanted to say something, and I know others did too, but Ashley, go for it. Did you want to add?
I believe there's definitely some folks ahead of me. I have something to add, but I can wait.
Okay, no problem. I'm going to go to Nick. I did see Nick raise his hand. Go for it, Nick.
Hey, I'm back.
Welcome.
So when I first started the 9-5 podcast, I was very concerned that it was going to be very difficult to get guests. So I kind of took an approach, basically put out an episode on whatever I have the opportunity to put out an episode on. Now that I've gone through that experience, I would probably be a little bit more planned out, kind of like what Yvonne was talking about, because to be honest, getting the guests isn't very hard. Being a guest on other podcasts, I feel like, is a lot more difficult. So now that I've experienced that and know that a lot more people want to be on podcasts, sometimes you just have to ask. I'd probably be more selective and more intentional with the content and when I was releasing it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That, yeah, I'm with you. And I'm trying to think of, besides Ashley, who else had their hands up via emoji here on Clubhouse. Okay, Jonathan, thank you. Appreciate it. Go for it.
Me and my co-host plan out even our non-interview episodes to kind of just have a good cadence when it comes to the topics that we're covering, because we're covering, you know, business, social media, what we're going through as business owners and entrepreneurs. So we try to kind of rotate some of the topics, rotate our guests, and we plan that all out. We do like 11 episodes at a time planning, and just make sure that we have the right mix on there. Sometimes we'll edit them. Sometimes it might not work out because we record so far in advance, so we might have to re-record an episode here or there. But yeah, we make that plan so that it just flows. I think, you know, for the listener, it's going to flow from one episode to the next and make sense. And it's not the same episode that, you know, it's not the same thing that we just talked about. So that's kind of why we plan those.
Yeah, that makes sense, especially planning ahead. Then it can often help you figure out what guest you want to get. Right. So having those topics ahead of time and, yeah, having them ahead of time allows you to then start thinking about, all right, who's going to be the right person to address this topic? And sometimes, to your point, Jonathan, yeah, sometimes it's just you or you and your co-host that can take care of that. You don't always have to have the guest. And I appreciate that variety of it not just being an interview week in, week out. I like the idea of sprinkling it. And so much so that after I did this interview with Heather, and now that I've seen it all come together, I want to do more of that. And I've shared that with you guys here over the past few weeks. I want to have more of these one-on-one interviews. I want to do them more with our own community and also the people that light me up in this content creation space. Ashley, did you want to share?
Yeah, I just wanted to share that with my local podcast, a lot of it is so centered around different people, different kinds of artists and entrepreneurs on the creative journey, that I try to look at it from a perspective of releases. Like, a lot of folks are releasing books and albums, they're putting on events. And a lot of these interviews, they're recorded in the field. They're recorded at music festivals. They're recorded at art shows, things like that. So I try to consider, how long ago was the interview done so that it's still somewhat relevant, even though it will live on forever. But if they've got an album coming out in a month, I don't want to release their episode 6 months later. So I try to consider the timeline of their releases.
Yeah, that's important when you're planning and sequencing. It's important to understand, what are the guests' needs? Do they need this one to go out? Are they doing this interview with the intention that they have something that they're promoting? So I think it's important to discuss that with a guest for sure. I appreciate that you do that, Ashley. I think that goes a long way. And, you know, there are all sorts of reasons to sequence, right? For one, to what we've discussed, it helps you as a podcaster with your planning. You're not each week coming, all right, what am I going to talk about this week? What am I going to talk about next week? You've got at least a North Star to follow. And there can be other reasons for sequencing. You may be promoting something. You know, if you do your podcast to help support your business, maybe next month you've got like a mastermind that you're launching or a coaching program that you're launching. Well, maybe the next 4 weeks are very specific to what you do or to the things that you coach. If you're helping people who, let's say it's personal development, who have a lot of limiting beliefs, maybe, and that's what you're going to be teaching in a workshop, how to overcome your limiting beliefs. Well, then again, maybe the next 4 weeks are different tips and strategies around breaking through that, always promoting the upcoming workshop that's going to go into way more detail. And guest appearances that we talked about, that's one for sure that you may sequence. Maybe you have a theme similar, I think, what Yvonne was saying. Maybe there's a theme, there's an event, maybe like it's mental health awareness month this month. So maybe you have 4 weeks of interviews around that. And I know several of you are doing that this month. I think, Soda, you're doing a lot to recognize mental health awareness month. As a matter of fact, Soda, would you be interested in sharing one of the episodes either that's released around Mental Health Awareness Month or one maybe coming up that you're excited about?
Sure. So I started out with one about suicide prevention for creatives because a lot of us are very alone in this and, you know, trying to prevent those feelings in the first place. Then I had one about tips for anxiety. And then I have one that I'm editing right now about dealing with grief as a creative and how to get past that.
So glad you're doing that. Thank you for doing that. And where can our podcast audience find some of that?
Oh, you could find it on any podcast platform under The Success Palette or at thesuccesspalette.com.
Thesuccesspalette.com. Awesome. Thank you, Soda. Okay, listen, I'm going to give you 4 minutes of your time back. We are 4 minutes early, and we are back tomorrow covering the news. It's the day of my podcaster meetup that I'm doing in coordination with Riverside. So yes, I am still doing the show tomorrow and probably leaving shortly after we do the show. And that's in Charlotte at Brewers of Yancey. So if you are in the North Carolina area, the Charlotte area, even outside the area, but maybe it's not too far away, like for me, it's about a 2-hour drive, please come join. Not only will you get a free drink if you register today, that free registration will also put you in a pool to win a Shure MV7 that you would walk away with that very evening. That's tomorrow evening, 6 p.m. Eastern in Charlotte. Podcaster meetup hosted by the Empowered Podcasting Conference and Riverside. Until tomorrow's news, make it a great day, everybody. Take care.